He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Thursday. I'm glad I got out of bed today. You know, it's a big day in the market, and we had a really good day yesterday. We're having another monstrous day today here at Gunderson Capital. It helps when you got the wind at your back, obviously. Dow up 389 right now, 390 to 34,767. The NASDAQ, listen to this, up 205 points today, 14,777. There's your lucky numbers. That's a jackpot. S&P 500 up 55, 44.19. Russell 2K up 24. That's at 22.66 right now. Crude oil, which has been making a decent move here recently, up 38 cents right now to $80.82. But it has cooled off a little, and I think that's probably helping the equities market. Gold, which got above 1,800 for the first time in quite some time, and a lot of little perky gold stocks right now. Gold up is at 1,796 right now, but as I've been saying for a long time, gold just doesn't stray too far from that 1,800 level. Silver up 16 cents to 23.33. The 10-year, well, you know, we got up to 1.60. And I'm guessing this is the biggest reason for the move in the NASDAQ, because we haven't had any NASDAQ stocks, really, that have reported earnings. The 10-year's back down to 1.54, so down 6 basis points from that 1.6 level. And a Bitcoin celebrating today's move in the equities market with a 2,800-point move higher. Bitcoin is at 57,517. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. And Barry Kite is with us today.
Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Barry, CFA and CFP. That always helps to have that kind of knowledge to add to the content of the show each day. And, boy, I'll tell you what, Barry, we had a monster day yesterday in the market. We did. The market was not that great either. I mean, the Dow was down a point yesterday.
Whoopee. Right, yeah.
But the NASDAQ was up 106. So I suppose the way our, definitely without question, the way our portfolios are tilted right now, we're definitely more, our portfolios are more sensitive to the moves in the NASDAQ than they are in the Dow. And it's been said before, you know, you went over your worry list on Monday, and we talk about it all the time. You know how the saying goes, the market climbs a wall of worries, right? Mm-hmm. Inflation, rising interest rates, supply chain, I mean, on and on and on and on. But I always come back and say, but at the end of the day, okay, all of those are important, and they affect the market more in the short term, I suppose, the daily gyrations. But at the end of the day, the market always comes back to earnings and earnings expectations, which remain good for now. But we're now getting into the throes of this earnings season. We're getting the bank stocks out of the way, which really don't have much impact really on the overall market. But apparently those earnings have been good enough for a two-day rally here in the market, you know, with a lot of those bank stocks reporting. So obviously those CEOs are not saying anything that's scaring the market. And, Barry, if I were to pick one sector that we've really had some success with lately here, the software stocks, the cloud,
yes,
and the cybersecurity stocks. Holy cow, they've just been on fire here. Yesterday, too, I would say the lithium stocks had a good day. The semiconductor stocks are still a little wobbly, but AMD has definitely firmed up quite a bit. And I do notice, we'll get to a Taiwan Semiconductor. In fact, let me just take a quick look, because it is a bellwether chip stock, and it's having a very good day. It's up 3.1%.
Great. Yeah, great earnings report. And then also I saw where they're going to be expanding and looking to expand some capacity into Japan. So then they're going to wanting to build a new factory in Japan. Of course, those factories, they take, I mean, watching the piece on that. It takes a few years to actually start cranking chips out of those things. But
yeah, the chip shortage is going away.
Right.
So anyways, you know, we had kind of a soft day in the Dow, which is heavily weighted by financials and cyclicals and basic materials. They didn't do so hot yesterday. Although I noticed a big jump in copper prices yesterday. I don't know where that came from. But it was the NASDAQ yesterday up 106. I had someone write to me that, you know, she has an account with us, but she also has a 401k at work. She says, Bill, what's the trend right now? What should I be investing in? I said, well, the only real trend I can point to right now is tech. You know, I can't point to definitely not emerging markets or international or the bond market. And when it comes to the stock market, the cyclicals have fallen apart, like Caterpillar and Deere and those stocks. Yeah, they were hot for a while.
Yeah, that's an ugly chart.
It's horrible.
I saw Caterpillars today. It's not a pretty chart.
No, and Deere, the workers are going on strike. And of course, the transportation industry. I would say the two best areas of the market right now, the vacation and leisure, are doing really well. The hotels, not the airlines, but the hotel stocks, and that's about it, really, in that sector. And then I would say the hottest sector of all, if you're going to pinpoint one, it would be software, which is the cloud. It's, you know, it helps with supply chain. It helps with cybersecurity. It
helps with the remote workers, right?
And
And also, they're not sensitive to the 4% rise in natural gas today either. So.
No, the only thing, I was going to say, the only sensitivity that software has to inflation, because they don't care if pickle prices go up or, you know, flour, is labor. I suppose labor.
Yep,
and then a lot of labor for software comes from, you know, India and overseas. So anyways, it's a very high margin business if you can come up with some good products, and apparently a lot of people have. Cloudflare, for instance, NET.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know what it's doing today, but boy, we picked that thing up and it has just been flying. It's up again today. Holy cow. It has gone from 108 to 163 in 2 weeks, and we got it by watching the trends and the Best Stocks Now app. Okay, we had our second set of inflation numbers out today, the Producer Price Index, and look at that, 8.6. Yesterday, the CPI was, you know, it was 6.8, I guess, for the month, but the Producer Price PPI, 8.6. Okay, indexes for machinery, equipment, hospital, automobiles, automobile parts, portfolio management. Well, we haven't moved our prices? No. Truck transportation all moved up. That's the producer price index. Very
high. China had theirs. Right. China had theirs, too. I think it came in the highest number in 20 years, I think. It was over 10% for theirs, on top of, I think, 9% last month. So.
Yes, and ours is the highest since 2010, so that's 11 years. But look at the market doesn't care. I mean, the market doesn't care.
Yeah, it was very
resilient. Shrugged it right off.
Right, I mean, looked at the Fed minutes yesterday. I was surprised the market didn't take a turn lower for that because, you know, they basically in the Fed minutes essentially – kind of all agreed to start tapering mid-November, or, you know, at least some form of it.
And when this PPI came out, the market actually went up. So anyways, jobless claims came in really good. I thought that was an excellent number. It came in at 293. Okay, so that's our first sub-300,000 number in a long, long time. In the meantime, there's 10 million job openings. I saw a sign yesterday on a restaurant that said, "We are urgently hiring."
Urgent. Yeah,
urgently hiring.
Well, because around here, that we are hiring signs are always, they just
they're
stay
everywhere.
Out. So yeah, I guess you have to throw in a little bit more something to catch your eye.
And, you know, well, I can also tell you that Melvin's Barbecue, which is some of the best barbecue in Mount Pleasant and has a drive-through that's always busy, it has a sign out saying $21 per hour. Okay,
I was doing the math on that. That's like $38,400 a year, which is
that's starting. You know,
coming out of college, by the way, I think my first gig, I think it was right around 30 or 32. I was trying to find the original job offer back in, you know, very beginning of 2000. Yeah, it's crazy.
And now I've got you up to just over 40. So
yes, we're not doing. Yeah, you're staying
competitive. We'll get it going. Don't worry, things are picking up here. Gold jumps to highest levels in nearly a month. When we come back, I just want to mention a few gold stocks. And then Tata, and then uranium, and then Moderna. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now show. Yeah, it looks like the chip stocks. I think TSM is helping the chip stocks a little. The software stocks doing pretty good here today. Let me just look quickly at the S&P 500. What's leading the S&P today? Well, you know, kind of a mixed bag. Here's your top three, top four. Freeport McMoRan, number one. I said there was a big jump in copper prices yesterday. We own Freeport McMoRan. I finally pulled the plug on it, though. You know, dang. As soon as you buy into some surging, you know, commodity type thing and, you know, inflation and it falls apart, which it did, and now it's heating up again. That's the biggest mover in the S&P right now is Freeport McMoRan, FCX, which is basically very much tied to copper. Number two is United Healthcare. Okay, so that's like at the other end of the spectrum.
That's
we go from we go from copper mining. Of course, it's on the back of earnings, and you know the healthcare providers have not been a very good sector. Number three is NXP Semiconductor, up 3.5%. It's been under heavy pressure recently. That's just a little bounce, actually. And then the next one I see is PayPal, which we own. That's a fintech stock, which has been pretty weak lately. In fact, I've noticed the credit card stocks have been extremely weak recently. Then I'll just name one more here, and it's six, is ServiceNow. Holy cow. Look at that jump today. We own ServiceNow, N-O-W. It's one of the chosen 20 that we own in our...
Yeah, it's been one we've owned for off and on for a while. It's a great cloud. I mean, and that's kind of a great remote work play.
I would say it's one of the greatest best stocks I've ever found. I mean, I've owned it for years, off and on for years.
And we wrote about it a couple of times.
Yep. Okay. Back to gold jumps to highest levels in nearly a month. That's another sector I just have not had much luck with over the years, except for. Back, there was a time in 2012, something like that, when gold just went on a tear. I made some money in it then. But since then, there's been so many stops and starts with gold. And you would think with the deficits we're running, you would see dollar destruction and gold zooming higher, but it just has not happened. And as I look at the dollar, I use UUP as my proxy there. The dollar's down a little bit today. Gold's at 1800, but there were several gold stocks yesterday. I think Kirtland Gold, KL, really stood out to me. It's breaking out just a little bit again today, but it has broken through resistance here recently, and it moved all the way up to number 62 in our best stocks now. I currently have no exposure to gold, however. Tata has probably the stock of the week. They valued their EV business at $9 billion. Well, Tesla's EV business is valued at $800 billion. So Tata's got a ways to go, but all of a sudden Tata is getting some recognition, TTM, for their underappreciated EV business. And the uranium, we've been trying to figure out why. Well, apparently it's a bet on nuclear power's resurgence. And I suppose, you know, at the end of the day, that's the cleanest. That's one of the cleanest producers
and most efficient in terms of how much power you produce.
Absolutely.
But I think what's the – I remember the – you know, we haven't built a
– No.
A nuclear power plant in America. I forget what the – it used to have this – it's been – has it been 40 years or I forget how? It's been a long time.
A long time. And we've in the meantime, California, they have one left and it's going to be shut down. We had a big one just north of San Diego at San Onofre and they just, you know, shut it down, put it, decommissioned it. And now California has energy shortages. There was one in Diablo Canyon there off central California. They're shutting it down. That was kind of the whole no nukes move. That was while I was in college, you know, back in the late 70s. I remember driving home from college to see a no nukes concert. Now, I didn't go for the ideology part. I went for the music. There was Bruce Springsteen,
exactly.
Jackson Brown, Graham Nash, all of the usual, you know, people that would show up to a no nukes concert. And they made an album of it, too. No, remember albums? You're too young to remember albums. We used to buy albums. There was no such thing as streaming. Get out of here. We bought albums, and after we'd listen to them so much, they'd get all scratched up. You know?
I've got vinyl now. It's made a resurgence.
It has. And the price is soaring because right. Vinyl is made from it's a petroleum product.
Yes, it is.
Okay, so that's why uranium. I just hope there's nothing under the surface that some rogue nation in the world is not stockpiling uranium. You always have to worry about that. That scare is not going away. And there's some dang crazy nations in this world. Democratic lawmakers pen a letter. They want Moderna's recipe. That's what it comes down to. They think that Moderna, this comes from Elizabeth Warren, Jeff Merkley of Oregon, and Pramila Jayapal from Washington, you know, three of the most very far left senators and Congress people. And Moderna says, you know, forget it. Coca-Cola doesn't have to give up their formula. Well, it's right. For the greater good. And, you know, if they could pass along Moderna's recipe to manufacturers all over the world, it would get produced. But Moderna says we're not giving up the recipe. So that's going to be interesting to watch. U.S. becomes the world's largest Bitcoin miner thanks to China clampdown. I guess, is that something we should be proud of? I don't know. We're the biggest Bitcoin miner in the world now. Holiday shopping season kicks off early. You know, I was digging around in one. We kind of have a storage room at our house, and I found all these presents for Christmas. None with my name on it, but definitely grandkid-type stuff. And I guess my wife has been stockpiling. I better not let the grandkids see where Grandma's got the presents hidden. But she's taking it seriously about getting out there early. That is a big, big worry. In fact, Loop Capital is downgrading TJ Maxx, Ross Stores, Burlington Stores on fear of empty shelves.
Yeah, well, they're discounters, and they're, you know, the thing is, they end up taking extra inventory, right, from other retailers, and they're essentially not, if the retailer doesn't have the supply, well, it's not going to trickle down to them.
No, and you know what else I was thinking here on this? They are totally reliant on the Christmas holiday season. I mean, they're literally, they lose money three quarters out of the year, for the most part, and they make most of their money, although online has helped them a little bit. But these things are very seasonal, and without that big Christmas season, it's going to be tough sledding if they can't get the shelves full. Okay, when we come back, banks. more banks earnings and a few tech earnings and what's going on. It's always fun to see what's going on in California, a state that I'm now 3,000 miles from. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now show with Bill and Barry. We've got the market maybe has cooled off just a tiny bit, but not much. The Dow's up 406, and the NASDAQ is up just under 200 points. It's up 196 points right now. Okay, here's this was an interesting, you know, one of the issues that came up on the inflation report was automobile insurance. Well, during COVID, okay, so a lot of people at home, not at work, extra time on their hands, property and casualty insurer Mercury Insurance reported a dramatic increase in vehicle vandalism and auto theft in California, with comprehensive auto insurance claims surging 40% from pre-pandemic levels, and the vast majority of this was in Northern California, double that of Southern California. Of course, that's the Bay Area and whatnot. And, you know, I talked to, I have a lot of friends, obviously, in California, and I heard the same thing, that there's been a lot more break-ins in their neighborhood, vandalism, stuff like that. And, of course, that drives insurance premiums higher. And what's the what's the favorite car to prey upon? The Toyota Prius. So if you got a Toyota Prius in Northern California, you better keep your eye on it. Okay, we talked
about
it.
It's always a Toyota. It used to be a Toyota Corolla was the most, I know in New Jersey was the Toyota Corolla was the most, I think was the, or maybe it was the Camry. One or the other was the most, most stolen car.
Yeah, nobody will mess with my car because, you know, I mean, it's all beat up and there's nothing, the seats are all ripped apart. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, anyways, it's a problem, okay? It's a big problem, and it just goes to show you. I'm a big believer. My father, I'm sure your father, taught me that work was good. Work is good, son. And he didn't want my life. He had it pretty tough. He, you know, was born during the Depression, fought in World War II on a submarine, trained and ended up being a great artist, and he worked his butt off, man, all the time. And he didn't really want my life to be easier than what he had, because he knew that's what builds character.
Mm-hmm.
But I would have to say that parents today, including myself, have kind of said, you know what, we don't want our kids to. When that's exactly what built our character, was hard work and, you know, work ethic, and we don't want our kids to have it as hard. Well, I think we're seeing the results of a lot of that parenting these days, or lack thereof. Dear workers on strike after rejecting labor deal. Look at deer stock. You know, I made a foray into deer. I thought it looked like the cyclicals. That thing took off in February. Now, what happened back in February of this year? Interest rates started climbing. The higher the P.E. stock, the more it sold off, okay? The high P.E. sector of the market sold off by more than a third. And what went back into favor for about really only 3 months? Value stocks, low P.E. Okay, so Deere had a P.E. like in the low teens at that point in time, and a Caterpillar and others, and they became the market leaders. But you know what? That didn't last. Because you know what happened, Barry? What happened to interest rates when after about a two-month run in those value stocks? What happened to interest rates?
And dropped. Hit that 1.75 kind of number, and then trended, you know, kind of got back in line, and you know, the transitory talk, right?
Yep.
The Fed won out. What is the old adage? Don't fight the Fed. So.
Yep. And, you know, I mean, that's what has made this year so difficult, extremely difficult, is the starts and stops. So much of the market revolves around interest rates. There are so many sectors that are hypersensitive to interest rates. And when you had that sudden, unexpected rise in February that really came out of nowhere, and, you know, as soon as you got on that bandwagon and that train, and it looked to me like it was a cycle that could have gotten a lot worse, I thought maybe we were going to go above two at that point in time. Look, we had huge profits sitting there in February. The Teladocs, the Etsy's, the Upworks, we could go on and on and on. We had doubles and triples in a lot of those stocks, and I was forced to sell them pretty much at or near their highs. I mean, I suffered a little bit there in February, but I got out of the way of that train that was really derailing at that point in time. And I kind of hit out in value stocks, but I thought, you know, that might be a cycle that had some legs to it. Well, if you call 2 months legs, that's what we got out of it, the value run. And then deer started selling off. And guess what happened? Interest rates went down 50 basis points, and guess what took off? Not the highest of the high PE stocks, however, not the ARK type stocks. But all of a sudden, the more reliable Microsofts, you know, Facebook, Netflix, the FANG stocks, Amazon, they took. So you had to do an about face twice in a matter of just a few months, which has made this year very, very difficult. Okay. But we're doing great now. I mean, things are flying. Deer workers on strike. Okay, here we go with the earnings. And I'm going to mention as we go through these earnings where these stocks are currently ranked. Wells Fargo, which has had a long, difficult time with all the fake accounts they were opening, CEO changes. They beat earnings by 17 cents. They beat on revenue. This stock is ranked number 3,500, somewhere in there. So that's all I have to do. This is how, you know, this is how the app helps me as a money manager. I know that I can move on. I look at that. And I keep track, you know, it got as high as 600 back in late July as interest rates were starting to rise again. Wells Fargo, now remember, these bank stocks benefit. If interest rates start to really take off, you're going to want to own some banks and financials. But Wells Fargo wouldn't be my pick, number 3,500. Citigroup beats by 39 cents, beats on revenue. Okay, I like to see these beats. That's good.
Yeah, my biggest take from a lot of those is the fact that you had, you know, the banks just haven't seen the loan losses, right, that they were expecting, right?
Right.
Which, you know, you're talking about what's different, say, than 08, 09, right? You know,
right.
You know, part of it, to me, is just, you know, you don't have a huge credit event, which takes longer to work through. You know, even on the rent side, remember, we, you know, when they got rid of some of these rent moratoriums, right, we were expecting, you know, a huge number of you know, potential evictions, and you know, it doesn't mean
landlords.
That won't happen, but you really haven't seen that yet either.
Nope.
So it's, you know, it doesn't mean we won't have those, you know, certainly potentially in China, but, you know, it just hasn't created that credit event, which, you know, big shocks like this kind of tend to do.
And then you look at a chart of Citigroup, C is sideways. It's just absolutely sideways, you know, 1500, 1800. So, the banks are really not helping the market out, you know, and they're heavily represented in the Dow, especially. Morgan Stanley beats by 36 cents. Okay, so Morgan Stanley is ranked number 2,933. And, of course, Morgan Stanley this year, they've been notorious this for the last several months calling for a huge correction before the end of the year. And they're running out of racetrack here. I mean, there's only less than 2 months left in this year, and we haven't seen. We've had a 5% correction, okay? We finally got the 5 out of the way. But Morgan Stanley's basically been sitting on the sidelines, very bearish on the market, while the NASDAQ continues to sizzle along here. Bank of America beats by 14 cents, beats on revenue. If I were going to own one of these large banks, it would be Bank of America, which also owns Merrill Lynch. It's ranked number 166 overall. And, Barry, you're seeing a breakout. Now, it needs to break out with more authority than that. But it is in a zone here where you could get a pivot point or breakout on Brian Moynihan's Bank of America. You know, I think I'm going to pass. I have considered it for the dividend and growth portfolio because of its high ranking at 166 and a decent chart. But I just, you know, I just can't make myself do it yet, okay? If you see something you really like there and interest rates, I think interest rates have to get hotter for Bank of America.
The one thing that, you know, makes those banks compelling to me is just, you know, is the fact that at least it is somewhat of a hedge against higher interest rates.
Exactly.
But who knows when that's really going to happen, right?
And we own Goldman Sachs right now
right,
for that.
Exactly. Yep.
Okay. All right. When we come back now, we'll mention some good stuff. We haven't mentioned a good spot yet. Time for that when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. Back here to the, you know, this hour goes fast. When I do it, the show by myself, it goes a little slow, but with two people, it just like flies by. I don't know what. Why,
yeah, every time I look, every segment, I'm like, oh, it's only 2 minutes left of the segment.
This is the full quarter, the final quarter. Well, the market continues to sizzle. The NASDAQ's up 214. You know, look, I put out my macro outlook every week in the newsletter. I hope you've been following along. I've been right since 2009, and I called did I call the bottom of the market last year? I mean, within 4 days during
that
COVID.
That Boeing article.
The Boeing bottom, bang.
Yeah,
and we went all in. We had one of our best years ever last year. And then this year we had the, you know, the big February thing where I cashed in on most of those stocks that, you know, took me to the dance in 2020 because the market had a vicious internal rotation to deer, you know, to manure stocks, all right? So, you know, I went with it, and then all of a sudden the rug was pulled out when interest rates started going back up or down again. And I think we're in a pretty good spot right now. We're having a monster day here today, but, you know, that newsletter, that is vital for anybody who has a 401k, a Roth. You know, we had some people pulled the plug on their accounts that they were afraid themselves of the overall market and said, go all the cash. And I don't know why they hire me, but, you know, so be it to manage their money. So I've got a few accounts sitting in cash, but that's their choice, not my choice. All right, okay, so now let's I definitely have three stocks here, so we'll have to roll pretty quickly. But get the newsletter. You can sign up. It comes every week, not the full enchilada. You get that for 2 weeks. And then after that, I mean, the version I send out, the free version, is loaded with good stuff that you're going to want to keep on top of throughout the year. GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com. I've been writing my newsletter for 21 years, and it's been a pretty valuable tool over the last two decades. Okay, here's my three stocks that jump off the page at me today. The first one, I put this, make a note, Barry, to do some research into what is going on with Ambarella, AMBA. Now, you know, I followed this stock quite a bit, and its claim to fame was the GoPro cameras. It made the chip for the GoPro cameras. And, of course, it was red hot. And then I said all along, you know, it won't be long before GoPro is going to have nothing but competition. And that was a true statement. GoPro eventually leveled off big time. But it was one of the hot stocks of its time. You know, I think it got up, I don't know, it was 100, I know, at least. Now it's 9. But Ambarella's big claim to fame was the chips, but they obviously are in something else. I want to say it's probably security.
I think it's drones. Yeah, it's security. I think it has to do with drones. And you know, Israel is moving ahead with a national drone network.
I saw that. Yeah.
May, like I said, my guess is their chips are probably going to be. I'm about to dive into this a little bit.
Because security and surveillance is their thing. And they've
had.
I mean, over the last 5 years, their earnings have gone down by 36% per year. But all of a sudden, they've got something new. And their most recent quarter that they reported in July was up. Earnings were up 483%, sales up 58%. And look at the breakout. This stock was really dead in the water until late August. And then all of a sudden, what? This stock has just taken off. Ambarella, which is the symbol is AMBA. I don't have time to look up the ranking. Yeah,
up over 8.5% today.
Yeah, it's a massive breakout. It is currently ranked. And it's been moving up in rank just in a vicious fashion. It's number 92 right now. 1 month ago, it was 207. And a year ago, it was 1,408. So really, it was not a stock that had much going on until about 2 months ago. And whatever it's got going on, I have just not had time. So that's why I got Barry CFA going to look into it. ENTG would be my second one. Integris, staying with the chip stocks. We own Integris in our, emerging growth portfolio. It's also, they manufacture contamination control for semiconductor, you know, clean rooms. That's important. That's very important. I made some pretty good money in some of these clean room type stocks over the years, but Integris, it's just had steady earnings growth now, year after year after year. Over the last 5 years, 26% per year. It's now a $17 billion small cap company. We must own it in our ultra growth portfolio. It's got a nice little pop today. It's ranked in the top 300. Integris, ENTG, small cap. And then the last one is one we don't own, but it's kind of indicative of the rest of these kinds of stocks that are cloud-based software stocks. Look at Upstart, UPST. I mean, I could go on and on with these cloud stocks.
Yeah.
I'm just picking one here. And you know what? We also own an ETF, World Cloud, WCLD, which has them all, or most of them, in it. That's done really good. And then there's the cybersecurity stocks are doing great, too, especially Cloudflare, which is net. I'm giving out too much stuff here today. But, you know, the newsletter has like 27 times what we talk about on the show. That's why you want to get it at GundersonCapital.com. But Upstart, look at that thing. It's a cloud-based lending platform shared between consumers and lenders to enable effortless credit. Now, my hackles go up when I hear about effortless credit. You know, it shouldn't be effortless.
Yeah, it's AI lending.
It is. It's artificial intelligence. It's got all the buzzwords. Artificial intelligence, cloud, blah, 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 enable. But this stock is one of the hottest stocks in the entire market. It's called Upstart, UPST. All right, well, we're out of time for this Thursday. The newsletter is now being worked on by myself and we'll have it out as soon as possible. That's my goal, is to get out a little bit earlier this week. It is fishing season here in Charleston area. I see the trout jumping, begging for me to come along and grab a few for dinner on Saturday. So anyways, if you'd like to get the newsletter, GundersonCapital.com. But if you'd like to talk to us about your portfolio, about your retirement, about your future, 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.